There was a time when hamburger pretty much described Alpha and Omega in my limited food sensibility. My grandparents didn't much care, and in the realm of monitored eating, Booty was a pushover. But not the new girl on Second Street, Bud's wife, brought home from Cincinnati after World War II. Well, I remember the evening Helen prepared Chinese food, hardly a daring thing anywhere now, but in those long-gone days around Pittsburgh, radical cuisine. I shut my 9-year-old mouth and flatly refused to eat it. "You will eat it," said Helen, "if you have to sit there all night." She was right. At midnight I did eat it. By then it tasted awful. But soon after the indignity, I discovered that miraculously I had developed a universal palate. I could eat and enjoy anything. When I was 10 and 11 years old, I still made occasional assaults on my sister's sexual dignity. She was older, bigger, and stronger than me, so there was little chance my vague tropisms could have caused any harm, but even that slight chance ended one afternoon when, on hearing one of these overtures, Pappy grabbed me abruptly behind the neck and back of a shoulder and proceeded to kick me like a football, painful step by painful step, up the staircase to our apartment. On theft. Having discovered where the printing office stock of petty cash was kept, I acquired a dollar without asking. How Pap knew it was me, I never found out. When he burst through the apartment door, calling my name in an angry bellow, I knew I had been nailed, and fled to the bathroom, the only door inside the apartment with a lock. Ignoring his demands to come out, with the greatest relief I heard his footsteps grow faint and the front door slam, but no sooner had I relaxed than he was back, this time with a house wrecking bar. He pried the bathroom door off, hinge by hinge. I still remember the ripping sound it made, but nothing else. Almost every classroom in my junior high school and my high school had a wooden paddle hung prominently over the classroom door. Nor were these merely decorative. I was personally struck about a dozen times in my school career. It always hurt. But it's also fair to say that unlike the assaults on my spirit I endured from time to time for bearing an Italian name at Cornell, none of those physical assaults caused any resentment to linger. In each instance I deserved some sort of retribution for one malicious barbarism or another. I forgot the blows soon after they were administered. On the other hand, I harbour a significant amount of ill-feeling for those teachers who humiliated me verbally. Those I have no difficulty recalling. It might seem from the examples I've given that I believe some simple relation between pain and self-improvement exists, but it isn't simple. With the single exception of a teenage boy whose pleasure came from terrifying girls, I never struck a kid in 3 decades in the classroom. What I'm really trying to call your attention to is that simplistic codebook of rules passed down to us from academic psychology and enshrined as a sacred text. Punishment played an important and positive role in shaping me. It has in the shaping of everyone I've known as a friend. Punishment has also ruined its share of victims, I know. The difference may reside in whether it arises from legitimate human grievances or from the bloodless discipline of a bureaucracy. It's a question nobody should regard as closed.